That's right. It's Monday morning here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV, and it's time for Oh Snap with Brett Goode. We have the Packers long snapper joining us on the phone today after Packers victory yesterday. Brett, congratulations on the 24-20 win. Did the team feel rested and ready to be back in action after a bye?
Oh, definitely. There's definitely a lot of energy, and I think everybody was glad to be back playing games. You know, the bye week was nice to be able to get, you know, kind of rested up and relaxed, and we got healthy in certain positions, and hopefully we can continue to get healthy at some other positions and get this thing keep rolling.
Packers have now won 5 games in a row. Where is this team's confidence at right now? Because anytime a team goes on a winning streak like this, I think most people would say they're one of the best teams in the NFL.
I think our confidence is definitely high, and I think that shows just from, like you said, the winning streak. And it just, we got to keep improving, and we kind of control our own destiny. We get to go out there and play each week, and hopefully we can continue to get this thing moving.
With yesterday's victory, head coach Mike McCarthy now has a record of 12-1 against the Detroit Lions. Do you feel like you have their number?
I don't think we have their number. I think that, you know, the division games are just tough, and especially playing in Detroit, it's a tough place to play, and, you know, their team is really good, and they had us down for most of the game, and, you know, they kind of controlled the game plan. We didn't play at our high level, but we were able to get the victory, and anytime you can get a division victory, especially on the road, it's always good.
Not only do the Packers, have they been doing well against the Lions, you now have a 9-game winning streak against the NFC North, and the record against division opponents under Mike McCarthy is tremendous as well. What's been the key to doing so well in the NFC North in general?
I think Mike just puts it out there that, you know, division games are so important, and they are. You know, we got to take care of our division, and we've been able to do that. You know, we're 2-0 this year, and hopefully we can keep going. You know, obviously we want to win our division, because if you can win your division, you set yourself up to do well in the playoffs, and that's what we're looking for right now.
We're talking to Packers long snapper Brett Goode. Brett, this isn't something I want to dwell upon here and talk about a whole lot, but I have to ask it. As someone who works so heavily with kicker Mason Crosby, a guy who's only made 6 of his last 13 field goals, where's your confidence in your teammate?
I have full confidence in Mason. I think he'll figure it out. And, you know, that's just one of those things where I've got to focus and make sure that my job's right. And I know Tim's doing the same thing. And, you know, Mason will come along. And he's one of the best kickers in the league. And we're definitely going to need him down the road here to get through the rest of the season, get into the playoffs, and hopefully we can make a run. And I think that the team has confidence in him. And, you know, we just got to keep doing our job, and he will do his.
One of the positives on special teams, you allowed 0 punt return yards on Sunday. Do you go into a game looking to accomplish something like that, or is it just something that happens and you say, good job when it does?
Oh, definitely. If you can limit any team to no returns, that's huge. And, you know, we were able to net 44 yards, which is even bigger. And, you know, we're just trying to get better each week. Tim punted the ball well. And, you know, we were able to get down there and cover and get in Logan's face. Logan was a dynamic returner. And, you know, we went into the game knowing that he's a downhill guy. And once we were able to kind of control him, that helps us with the field position battle. And that's ultimately the goal, is to control the field position of the game.
Next Sunday, you have the New York Giants, a tough NFC opponent, the team that obviously bounced you from the playoffs last year. Can you give us a little bit of a scouting report on what you expect from next week's game? I know you haven't delved into it a lot yet, but what can you tell us now?
You know, honestly, it almost feels like a division game. We've played them so much the last few years, and it's a tough place to play there in New York. They're a great team. You know, it's going to be a great atmosphere on Sunday Night Football. We know they're going to be good. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl last year. They're one of those teams that they can get on a run, and, you know, they can be dangerous. So we just got to go in there and try and play our game and control the field, you know, on special teams. And our defense played huge this last game, and hopefully they can build off that, and the offense can, you know, keep coming along, and hopefully we can get out of there with a victory.
Well, congratulations on this week's victory. I wish you the best of luck next week, and we'll talk to you next Monday after you play the Giants.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Packers long snapper Brett Goo joining us once again, as he does every Monday here at Railbird Central, for Oh Snap with Brett Goode. Thanks to him, and thanks to you for joining us here on the show this morning here at Cheesehead TV. Let's get right into it, folks. We got a lot to talk about. We're talking about a Packers 24-20 win over the Detroit Lions yesterday. We talked about it with Brett Goode. Now it's time to break it down. Wasn't always pretty. Wasn't the best-looking victory in the world. But, you know, the Packers come away with a win. And, you know, the big stories, I think, you know, the Packers, you know, the big picture things to take away. Packers, you know, looking at one team only, dominating the Detroit Lions. I mean, Mike McCarthy 12-1 against the Detroit Lions since he's become coach. I mean, the Detroit Lions haven't been always the greatest of teams. In fact, they've probably been one of the worst teams in the NFL, you know, over the past, you know, couple decade plus or so here, ever since the Barry Sanders era. But, you know, they have improved quite a bit in just the past few years, ever since, you know, they went on that season where they were, you know, finished winless 0-16. They've been on the uptick ever since then. I'm not sure they've gone over the hump yet where they're considered an upper echelon team in the NFL, but at least it is a team that's, you know, getting better, and you know that there's something to be said about that. So congratulations to the Packers for their you know, victory over the Lions here and their dominance over them. But you know, I think in the bigger scheme of things, you know, the dominance against NFC North opponents, you know, what the Packers are now on a 9-game winning streak against the NFC North, which I believe is a franchise record. They've had 8-game winning streaks before, including coming into yesterday's game, but they've never extended it to 9 before, I don't think. So that's a big, you know, check mark in the Packers, you know, something good to build upon for the Packers here. And, you know, you know, coming into yesterday's game, they had 5 of their next 7 games are against NFC North opponents, so they're going to be looking to extend that streak, or at least build upon it. You know, it's going to be tough for the Packers to go undefeated the rest of the season. We wish them luck in doing that. We all hope they do, but regardless, they got to make up some ground here, and in fact, you know, tonight's game, I think people are going to, Green Bay Packers fans are going to be watching tonight's Monday Night Football game with a whole lot of interest. The Bears take on the 49ers, and if the Bears lose, the Packers will now be tied for first in the NFC North. They're currently a half game back. But if the Bears lose, they'll be tied for first. So a lot on the line, a lot at stake in tonight's game. And, you know, the Bears are playing, obviously, a good opponent. So there's a decent shot they lose. In fact, I think most people would probably predict they lose. I would say the majority would predict the Bears would lose. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong there. Got to look that up on maybe, you know, doesn't ESPN just take, like, the public's poll and who they think will win, not against the spread or anything? Can we have anybody on the live blog look that up? What is the public say is going to happen in tonight's game? I think, you know, maybe ESPN, you know, conducts that poll during, you know, throughout the course of the day today. I don't know if they've done it already. I don't really follow them that closely to know, you know, how, what they do and when, but I do know they show that there's frequently that graphic they show on ESPN where they show the whole nation, the, you know, all 50 states, and, you know, they color it who's what state is picking, and, you know, obviously California will be all 49ers and Illinois will be all Bears, but, you know, they do kind of show what the whole country does, and, you know, a little bit better indicator of what people think. So, Anyway, big game tonight. A lot of interest in that because, of the impact it could have on the Packers. You know, looking to get first place in the NFC North. Obviously, the showdown head-to-head against the Bears coming up in, a few weeks is going to be big. That game could determine the winner of the NFC North, and it's going to be tough because the Packers are going to have to go on the road to Chicago that game. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about a Packers victory here yesterday. That is, big time news, for Packer Nation here. The Packers yesterday, I think the story of the game perhaps would be, the positives would be the play of, if I were to give my blue chips, I would give them to Randall Cobb for one. Just, he's continuing his coming out party. It's not like we can say yesterday was his coming out party because he's been continuing it. It's been in effect all season long. He catches the game-winning touchdown pass. The Packers have a come-from-behind victory in the fourth quarter, and certainly kudos to Aaron Rodgers for tossing that touchdown pass. Great job there. 20 yards, I believe. Good job, Randall Cobb. He was targeted 12 times yesterday by Aaron Rodgers, just to show how big of a weapon, how big of a part he's becoming in the Packers offense. Randall Cobb, an immense part, from where he's lining up at running back, and it seems like every time he touches the ball at running back, he runs off a 10-yard carry. And what he does in the return game, and, he didn't have a whole big impact in the return game yesterday, but, at least not turning the ball over. Although there was one close call there, but they showed the ball came out after Randall Cobb was down after a kick return. But, continuing his good play elsewhere on offense, JerMichael Finley finally becoming a bigger part of the Packers offense. After he's seen his role being reduced in recent weeks, part of it due to injury, but still, I think you saw, what was it, week one against the 49ers, JerMichael Finley had 7 catches and a touchdown, I believe. Don't quote me on the exact number of catches, but I think that was it. And, so he looked like a big part of the Packers offense then, and it seemed like ever since week one, it was just kind of regressing, almost week by week. And again, part of it was injury, but part of it, just not being consistent, the drops. So, JerMichael Finley finally becoming a big part of the Packers offense. He scores the first touchdown of the game on a beautiful play call. Beautiful pass by Aaron Rodgers there, too. They fake the screen pass, they run the screen pass, which gets the whole defense moving, trying to stop that. They drag the tight end across the middle of the field going the other direction, so he's wide open. Fantastic play call, fantastic throw, fantastic catch. Great job by everyone there. And then JerMichael Finley also coming up with the 40-yard reception late in the game, in which he broke a few tackles or made some, Detroit Lions miss, and runs up the sideline and, helps put the Packers in good field position. So, great job yesterday by JerMichael Finley. He needed that. The Packers needed it. I personally, I've been very critical of JerMichael Finley. I still don't know about his long-term prognosis with the team, but I can admit the Packers are a better team when he's playing well. Obviously, anybody should admit that, regardless of your personal opinions of JerMichael Finley. And, kudos on a good job yesterday. I mean, it would certainly, if this was the turning point in the season, that would be a big thing for the Packers as well. They would certainly benefit from a good JerMichael Finley. Everybody would benefit from a good JerMichael Finley from here on out during the stretch run of the season. JerMichael Finley himself and his future with the franchise and future in the NFL for that matter. And the team as a whole, the Packers, would benefit from him playing well. So there, you know, I see the live blog scrolling here and I can't catch everything all the time, but I see John asking on the live blog, Alex Green getting phased out. And I do want to address that before the show is over here. I do think that was interesting how Alex Green played so sparingly yesterday. Here's a guy who the Packers had basically made the starter once Cedric Benson went down due to injury. And perhaps, you know, part of that was because at the time James Starks was injured as well. And, you know, Alex Green was pretty much at the time the only person they could rely upon. And, but yeah, I mean, Alex Green has a rough couple weeks, you know, hasn't done the greatest, but like almost getting phased out entirely, I thought was kind of interesting, kind of surprising there. I didn't expect to see that. I mean, certainly I understand James Starks getting a majority of the playing time, a large majority of the carries, but to, you know, just phase Alex Green out entirely, I thought was kind of a head scratcher, and didn't really see that coming. I wonder where he'll be at in the future and what'll happen there. Whether the Packers kind of go back to any sort of two backs, kind of both contributing, I don't really know. We'll see. We will see. James Starks getting a lot of carries yesterday. What do he have? 20 carries. I'm looking at the stats right now. James Starks, 25 carries, pardon me, for 74 yards. So he averages exactly 3.0 yards per carry, or rounded, I guess. But anyway, James Starks getting a large workload yesterday and has okay success. I mean, there were times when he had good runs. He really had a physical style of running yesterday, a downhill style of running. He kept those legs churning. He wasn't going to be denied. James Starks made the most of his opportunities. The blocking wasn't always there for him. And you know, some of the guys who had the roughest games yesterday, apart from Mason Crosby, we'll get to Mason Crosby too here, but, apart from Mason Crosby, Evan Dietrich Smith in his first start of the year had a really, really tough game. He struggled with Nick Fairley and Dominican Sue, penalties as well. And TJ Lang at times making his first start at right tackle, not the first playing time, but the first start, at times struggling as well, although I think TJ Lang probably did a little better than Evan Dietrich Smith. They'll learn from their mistakes and they'll go on. But having a tough time blocking for that running game to really get going, you know, like I said, James Starks averaging 3.0 yards per carry, nothing special there. You would like to see more than that, certainly. But, what the Packers did was they responded to what the Lions were giving them. The Lions, as many teams have done this season, play with the two deep safeties, and in fact, at sometimes really deep. And so the Packers look at those two deep safeties and they're like, okay, let's take our chances in the run game. You know, we might not get 7-8 yards a carry, but, you know, we're going to be able to get 3-4 yards a carry at least. And they did most of the time. There wasn't a whole lot of times where the Packers lost yards. They at least got those 3-4 yards and at times got a little bit more than that. And, you know, it worked out for the most part. I think the Packers are going to continue to see that on a consistent basis. And it didn't work to a T for the Lions, but they held the Packers, I think, in check. If you can hold the Packers to 24 points, I think that's pretty good, you know, if you're an opponent. So I think the Packers will see more of that going forward. And yeah, maybe they do need to attack the middle of the field a little more with those two deep safeties and kind of the void it creates in the middle, perhaps. I can see that argument. But, the Packers would certainly could use Greg Jennings back. I know they have a lot of other receiving targets, but he really would help this team. I mean, everyone would. That they get back from injury. Packers having a lot of players miss yesterday's game. Clay Matthews obviously missing his first game of the year. Charles Woodson, Cedric Benson, you name it. A lot of injuries, a lot of guys they could use back. But yeah, Packers offense not really in high gear yesterday, did enough to win and certainly looked good on the last drive of the game when it counted. They got it done, which was good. So good there. Turning to the defense, there's two big things of note on the defense. You've got the group that replaced Clay Matthews. Obviously, the Packers losing their best defensive player, one of the NFL's best defensive players. So how would they do at outside linebacker? How would Eric Walden do on one side? And then how would the rotation of Desmond Moses and Frank Zombo do on the other? And they did a passable job. You saw Eric Walden get credited for two sacks. And, I think a lot, the Packers got five sacks yesterday, which is good. I think several of them you could count as coverage sacks. That says more about the secondary than it does about the pass rush, but they did passable enough in the pass rush and got the job done. Desmond Moses in his first career start, at times you saw Desmond Moses exposed as a rookie, is off to do. But he made up for it by forcing the fumble against Matthew Stafford. And like I said, the Packers got five sacks total. Every now and again, somebody different was coming up with a little bit of pass rush, whether it was Brad Jones coming up the middle, and Brad Jones had a pretty good day. Even Ryan Pickett blasting through the offensive line. I mean, rarely do you see Ryan Pickett involved in the pass rush. So when he does, that's a nice little bonus. And rookie Mike Daniels coming up with, I think, a quarterback hurry. And he recovered the fumble by Desmond Moses. So, front seven doing a pretty good job there. Kudos to them. Maybe not an A-plus performance, but a B performance. And the Packers will take that without Clay Matthews. If you can get a B performance from your front seven minus Clay Matthews, that's a positive. That's a big positive. And perhaps even better was the play of a young secondary that was missing both Charles Woodson and Sam Shields. I mean, look at all the guys in their first or second years in the NFL and the big things that they did. The play of the day, the most exciting play of the day, M.D. Jennings, 70-odd-yard touchdown for an interception off Matt Stafford, the play of the day, the most exciting play, and comes with some controversy as there were replays there involved, but ends up holding up, touchdown Packers, and great play there. Heads up play by M.D. Jennings catching that ball off the tip and then to take it to the house. Good job. But in addition to him, you got rookie Casey Hayward, who picked off his fifth pass of the year, leads the Packers in interceptions, leads the NFL in rookies in interceptions, and is near the top of the NFL in general, although he's definitely not number one overall. But, in addition to that, I looked at the stat sheet. Casey Hayward broke up five passes yesterday. Five passes by Casey Hayward. Kudos again, giving a lot of kudos today, but great job by the rookie. I think I saw it earlier on the live blog as it scrolled through. Casey Hayward for NFL defensive MVP, and if he keeps it up, there's a chance. There's a chance that he can win that award. There's still a lot of season to play out here, and there's a couple other candidates for that award, including Chandler Jones for New England, who I know is having a good season. But certainly great play from Casey Hayward. You're getting good play from Jerron McMillan for the most part. Again, and these guys make, you know, rookie mistakes every now and again. That Jerron McMillan I've seen getting beat on the pass every now and again this season. But, you know, he also come up with a couple tip passes there. Comes up with the fumble recovery, I guess it is, on the Lions' last offensive play in the game where they were just trying to keep it alive by lateraling it. Nothing too big there, but good to see. You smile when that happens, at least. And Devon House playing well. I mean, you name it. Tremont Williams, for the most part, you know, lined up against Megatron, Calvin Johnson yesterday. Calvin Johnson had a couple big plays, but hey, the Packers, when Tremon Williams was on him, kept him out of the end zone, I believe, right? And John says on the live blog, Williams looked out of place at times. He did, but you know, the Packers holding the Lions to 21 points. You know, didn't the Lions come into the game with the number one passing offense in the NFL? I mean, this is an offense that's had success. The Lions' biggest problems have been on defense this year, even though they do have some talent there in the defensive line. I really do love, I love the Lions' defensive line with Fairley, Sue, Averill, Vandenbosch, you name it. I think that's a talented group, and I don't think they have the talent in the back end to match it. And that's, you know, I think that's where you're going to see them address all their concerns in the offseason, whether it's free agency, the draft. And I don't think they've done a very good job addressing those needs in previous offseasons. You know, they've done a poor job in the personnel department there. But I mean, kudos to a good young Packers secondary that, you know, minus Woodson, minus Shields. You know, once those guys come back, the Packers are going to be deep. And the guys that we're playing right now, I don't know how you replace them. They're playing so well. I mean, Casey Hayward, he's got to be out there all the time on every play. He's at that point where he's one of the up-and-coming players in the NFL, and he just has to be out there. It isn't a thing where you share time anymore, certain packages, nickel, dime, whatever. Casey Hayward's a starter, and he's got to be out there at this point, you know, based upon what he's done not only yesterday but the whole season as well. You know, I think Jerron McMillan you can certainly, you know, substitute here and there. But Kevin Lamb pointing out here, I saw Richardson got some time yesterday too. Yeah, I was wondering, why did that happen? You know, what did MD Jennings, DJ Protege says MD Jennings had cramps. So I didn't even know that. And I was wondering that myself, why that was happening there, why Richardson got some playing time. But, you know, good job for the undrafted rookie there, seeing his first playing time of the year on defense, I believe. He had been playing on special teams, but getting his first ever action on defense. So, and did fine. I mean, certainly there was nothing too notable there he did, but the Packers having at the end there to, you know, basically play prevent defense keep the Lions from doing anything at the end in the fourth quarter once the Packers got the lead. But, you know, Packers coming away with the victory yesterday and you know, good job for that. And they now head to New York, the team that beat them. And I guess I asked Brett Goode about Mason Crosby here. But I suppose we do have to talk about this. Mason Crosby misses two field goals yesterday. Really misses three, but Jim Schwartz took a timeout that didn't count. The field goal didn't count. And, you know, Mason Crosby ends up making a 30-some-odd yard field goal to actually was kind of big at the end that pushed it from a one-score game to a one-point game to a four-point game. And some people might have argued that it saved his job by making that field goal. But, you know, everybody's down on Mason Crosby. He's missed six. He's made six out of his last 13. So he's now less than 50% on his last 13 field goals. He's mired in the biggest slump of his career. You know, the Packer Nation is on, you know, giving him some grief and, you know, deservedly so. I mean, when you're making less than 50% of your field goals, that's not a good thing, you know, especially for a guy who's coming off the best year of his career, who's coming off getting a big contract for a kicker last year. You expect more out of him. And I do too. And it is so disappointing because you thought last year Mason Crosby turned the corner last year. I thought he did, had the best year of his career. I think he was a Pro Bowl alternate, right, last year. And so you're like, well, he's just going to continue to be solid here in the prime of his career. He's in his fifth, sixth year in the NFL now, and here's where he's going to be really good for a couple years. And that's not turning out to be the case, which is really disappointing. And, you know, Mason Crosby has now hit rock bottom. And I understand the Packers giving him a vote of confidence. I understand Mike McCarthy said in his post-game press conference yesterday, they won't blink, I think is to quote him directly, McCarthy said that, and they will continue to stick with Mason Crosby, and I think that is the right thing to do. You give him the chance to bounce back from rock bottom. The leash is obviously short. I mean, if he goes out and has another performance like he did this week, next week at New York, if he makes one out of three or one out of four next week in New York, I think he's gone. He's cut. But, you know, it's, you know, you give him the chance to bounce back because you've invested so much in him. And, you know, he is a good person. He's a captain. He's been the Packers, you know, he was the Super Bowl captain 2 years ago and their playoff captain last year. So he's respected in the locker room. So you give him that chance to bounce back from rock bottom. Now, again, obviously the leash is short and you don't, I mean, literally he could be cut within a week or two if they continue to be bad. But you give him the chance to bounce back and really there is the options on the street. There is nothing out there. I forget who it is. It's either Bob McGinn or Tom Silverstein today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Go read the article on Mason Crosby there. They lay out like all the options on the street who are available for kickers. And, you know, DJ Protege threw out one of the names on the live blog. Nate Kading is out there, a guy who's been good during his career, but, you know, is coming off an injury. You've got two former Packers on that list. You've got Ryan Longwell, who was cut from the Vikings. You've got Dave Rayner, who is the Packers' ex-kicker at one point. And both those guys are getting old. And, you know, Rayner never was a high percentage field goal kicker to begin with, although he does have a big leg. You know, there's a couple other options out there as well. And, you know, it's there's nothing out there. There's nothing out there. So, I mean, really, you stick with Crosby and, you know, there's the chance that he might do better here in the prime of his career, at least, you know, athletically. He's, you know, as good as you're going to get in an athlete at this point. You're not worried about age with him and coming up short. You know, it's you stick with Mason Crosby. I've said it now five times. You stick with him. You give him the try to bounce back. Although we will continue to monitor his situation because, like I said, the Packers can't afford another performance like that from him. And, you know, I think perhaps maybe you start to make phone calls, right? I'm not sure if you bring a guy in to compete. Maybe you bring in a tryout. I have no clue, like, the rookies who are out there. And maybe the Packers start trying a rookie or two out, but I don't think you sign anyone. I don't think you provide any competition, at least not this week. You show Mason Crosby you're confident in him to give him the chance this week, but that, you know, again, a week from now, we'll readdress it then. So I suppose that's where I'm going to stop with the Mason Crosby analysis. We can sit here and talk about every kick and whether he overkicked it or whether they're knuckleballs or not. And, you know, we could analyze this to the nth degree. And in fact, if you want to do that, CD Angeli here at Cheesehead TV wrote an article, I believe, deconstructing Mason Crosby. If you scroll to the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, there's a good job analyzing Mason Crosby's struggles this season. So go check that article out. And there's plenty of game coverage from the, you know, the mainstream media markets as well on Mason Crosby. So plenty out there more if you want to read more on Mason Crosby. But hey, again, the Packers win, coming away with the victory yesterday against the Detroit Lions. You know, now on a 5-game winning streak, 7-3 on the season. What more can you say? The Packers got it done yesterday on the road when they didn't exactly have it all working for them, but they come away with the victory, and that's all that matters, right? That's all that matters is when you come away with a victory. So Packers getting it done, and we'll be back. Hey, folks, for our regular listeners here, this was episode number 199. This will be the 199th podcasted episode. We're actually over that because for a while, not every episode was podcasted of Railbird Central in the beginning days or at once in a while due to technical difficulties. But anyway, Wednesday will be episode number 200. Excited about that as usual. Every Wednesday, we're joined by Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. So come back on Wednesday for that. I'll be giving away a copy of my book that day. So I'm not sure what we'll do that day, if some trivia or whatever, but we'll be giving away a copy of It's Just a Game. So make sure to come back then as we celebrate our 200th episode of Railbird Central. So we'll see you then, everybody. On behalf of John Rayor, on behalf of Jamie Jors, thank you very much for joining us here this Monday morning. Enjoy Victory Monday. And, you know, we'll be back Wednesday as we're getting ready for Thanksgiving week here at Cheesehead TV. So we'll see you later, everyone. I'll leave you today with some music here. I got to find you a song. Let's go with Nothing Too Fancy by Umphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.